All right. Hi, everyone. Again, Trade Secrets. Our presenter is Ken Hughes. I will let you read his bio. Quick comment on Ken. I know his work product from the client standpoint because years ago he represented my old law firm in a matter. He was an exceptional lawyer then and even better now. And he knows more about trade secrets than any lawyer I know. Ken, have at it.
You must not know too many lawyers. Okay, so if I was going to say the one takeaway that I'd want you to get today, it is that in the last 10 years since Texas has adopted the Uniform Trade Secrets Act, you're starting to see changed outcomes because the standards for proving a trade secret and some of the other things that you get into in these cases are different under the Uniform Act. Which Texas adopted in 2013. The biggest difference, in my opinion, is the focus on a trade secret as a threshold issue as opposed to focusing on the conduct. And here's a quote from the Texas Supreme Court years ago when they were analyzing a trade secret case, and they said, "The mere fact that knowledge of a trade secret may be acquired through lawful means, such as inspection or analysis, does not preclude protection as a trade secret from those who secure that knowledge through improper means. The question is not how could they have secured the knowledge, but how did they secure the knowledge?" So in the past, you know, the courts would look at the conduct more than the threshold question. Now it's different, and it has really changed outcomes in cases that I'll discuss in a moment. Having said that, although the Uniform Act does change the way that you analyze cases, the old case law is still relevant because there are a lot of old cases that are the only cases, pre-TETSA cases, that actually address certain issues, such as whether general skills are trade secrets, whether they're specialized or trade secrets. And even some of the post-TETSA cases, you'll see them quote or cite from a lot of the pre-TETSA cases. So they're still relevant. But in the event of a conflict, there is a preemption clause, and it's no longer theoretical. It's been applied in several cases. Because the language of the Uniform Trade Secrets Act in Texas is identical to the Defend Trade Secrets Act, in my opinion, those cases in federal court are relevant. They're secondary authority, but they're still relevant in state court. There are 49 other states that have adopted the Uniform Trade Secrets Act. You may have a situation where there's a very unique issue about a trade secret. Is this formula, is this product, is it a trade secret? And maybe there's not a Texas case that that has addressed it. So in those circumstances, it's very important that you look to other states. When you're doing that, at the same time, as you'll see in this bullet point that's not up yet, let's see, did I have it in there? You have to look at the other states because some of the states, for example, California, does not require a plaintiff to prove that a trade secret is not readily ascertainable. So reverse engineering as a defense will not work in California, whereas it will work in Texas, as you'll see in a moment. And that's the slide I meant to go through. Okay, so let's talk about, first of all, what is a trade secret under the statute? 134A... lists virtually all kinds of information. Some commentators have said that 134A is broader than the pre-Uniform Act law because it includes ideas as things that can be trade secrets. It may include products that are in development, whereas in the past, there may have been requirement that products were already in the stream of commerce in order to claim that they were a trade secret. So in some ways, you could argue that the Uniform Act is broader. This second requirement, this second bullet point about the owner taking reasonable steps to keep the secret, that is not often really important, in my opinion, in the cases I've litigated, but there was a huge case in Austin in this year where that was a deciding factor, and I'll get to that in a moment, but you, I guess most of you out there are thinking about, what do I need to do as an employer? Some of you may be thinking, what am I supposed to do as an employer to protect my trade secrets? And I'll get into the details on that, but it's things like, you know, data encryption, password protection, things of that nature.